For our scripture reading tonight, let's turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. Proverbs, chapter 23. We read this in connection with the text for the sermon tonight, which is 1 Timothy 5, verse 23, which says this, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities." Proverbs 23 speaks about the drinking of wine. In that connection, let's read this portion of God's Word. "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten thou shalt vomit up and lose by sweet words. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is mighty, he shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath words without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Thou have stricken me, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." So far we read the inspired Word of God. Once again, the text for the sermon is 1 Timothy 5, Verse 23, "Drink no longer water," Paul's word to Timothy, "but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake in thine often infirmities. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sermon tonight in part has to do with the Christian's proper view of and use of alcohol. It's a word that we need to hear as a congregation this evening. It's very true that in the past couple of months I've mentioned the use and the drinking of alcohol in sermons. I've pointed out in the past couple of months on a couple of occasions the culture that seems to be present in our church and churches at times, and namely it's this, that there always seems to be the necessity of having alcohol at all of our functions and at all of our get-togethers. And I've mentioned other things more recently in connection with the drinking of alcohol. But that doesn't really concern me tonight. Some of these things may be repeated in the sermon tonight. And that doesn't concern me because this is an important word of God for us to hear as a congregation. We need to hear and we need to heed the word of God regarding the proper view of and use of alcohol. And so to have another sermon that touches on these matters is good for us. We need to hear it. And not only hear it tonight, but obey it. This view of alcohol comes to us tonight in what is admittedly somewhat of a peculiar verse in 1 Timothy chapter 5. It's peculiar because simply of what Paul says to Timothy, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and often infirmities. It's peculiar also because of where it's found. How does what Paul says here fit into the context of what he is talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Admittedly, it's somewhat of an interesting verse in the middle of this book in 1 Timothy. And the temptation with verses like this is to skim over them or to include them in, for example, the previous sermon and just say a minute or two of things about this particular verse. But I don't want to do that. I want to pull this verse out and explain it a little bit. And use it as an opportunity to, as I said a moment ago, again address what is a very significant thing, and that is our proper view and use of alcohol. So let's look at this word tonight, using as a theme, drink a little wine. Drink a little wine. That's Paul's word to Timothy. We notice in the first place what this means, in the second place, the qualification, and there we will go into the meaning of little and how that applies to us. And then in the third place, let's see the goal that Paul had in mind when he gave this exhortation to Timothy. Drink a little wine, the meaning, the qualification, and the goal. When we look at this verse in 1 Timothy chapter 5, really the first thing to consider is how it relates to the context. It's very interesting in that Paul puts this short word to Timothy, somewhat of a personal note to Timothy, right in the middle of a very, very serious section regarding the discipline of office bearers. That was the theme of the sermon a couple of weeks ago. We looked at verses 22, 24, and 25. That main exhortation, not to lay hands suddenly on any man. And then verses 24 and 25, really the reasons that we are not to do that. And the reasons are, we don't know the man after they are ordained into office. Their sins may come out, which would disqualify them from serving in the office. All of that is in the context of bringing accusations of sin against office bearers in the church. And I tried to impress upon us in those past couple of sermons on this section the seriousness of these ideas. And then right in the middle of that is verse 23. Drink no longer water, use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and often infirmities. How does this fit with what the Apostle Paul is saying? this text does generate questions similar to that. And it's true that when you ask some of these questions, we can't necessarily identify the answer with 100% certainty. But nevertheless, with respect to this question, there are some things that we can say about it, and there are some things that others have said about it, and namely, how this fits into the context of 1 Timothy 5. One option is that it simply doesn't have any connection to the main idea, namely the accusations brought against office bearers. Some have even said that the Apostle Paul was writing something possibly in the margin of the letter that he was writing to Timothy, and then in the copying of that letter, what was a personal note in the margin found itself now in the middle of the actual text, and it's in this somewhat peculiar spot in chapter 5. That to me is not a very good explanation. Another explanation some give is that this is a further explanation of what he says at the end of verse 22, which is, keep thyself pure. Back up a little bit. He says in verse 22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither, Timothy, be partaker of other men's sins, keep thyself pure. So this idea of laying hands on other men brings up the idea of Timothy being pure in his walk as a minister. And some say that having brought that up, he now goes a little bit farther and elaborates this on this with what he says in verse 23 regarding not drinking water and drinking a little wine for his stomach's sake. So that this would be an explanation of what it meant for Timothy in his life to keep himself pure. I don't think that's a very good explanation of it either. What I think is a good understanding of why the Apostle Paul writes this is that he writes this in connection with the fact that Timothy was sick. That's really the purpose of this. Timothy, as we read at the end of verse 23, had stomach issues. And he had often infirmities. He was repeatedly knocked down because of physical ailments. And he identifies specifically an upset stomach. There is potentially a connection to that idea with the main context. And that is that what Timothy had to deal with in the church of Ephesus could have been a contributing factor to the sickness that he was enduring. I emphasized in those previous sermons the seriousness of this. This context of sins being brought against elders. And Timothy's right in the middle of this. There's fellow leaders in the church who may have been influenced by the false teachers in that church. And he's dealing with the discipline of certain men in the congregation in Ephesus. And we all know this from experience, that when there are very, very stressful circumstances that we have to deal with, and when they are repeated over a long period of time, if you're not careful and if you don't take care of your body physically, those very, very difficult and stressful situations can lead to physical ailments. That to me is a good understanding of why he says this. He was under a lot of stress and he wasn't taking care of himself, and the stress had an influence on his sickness and his stomach. And so in the context of this, he writes to Timothy these words, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Let's not misunderstand the command that Paul gives Timothy here. It starts off, drink no longer water. The idea there is not, don't ever drink water again. That would be terrible advice from the Apostle Paul if that was in fact what he was saying. Don't ever drink water again, but just drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake. We need water. Timothy needed water. Every man, woman, or child needs water for their continued existence here on this earth. What he is saying there is, don't drink exclusively water, but in fact, use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. But that raises another question that generates some more questions. And that raises the question of why the Apostle Timothy was doing what he was doing, and that is only drinking water. He was an exclusive water drinker. And he would not, therefore, drink any wine. And there is the question, why? Why did Timothy take it upon himself never to put into his mouth any alcohol, but drink only water? And here, too, there are a couple of options for answers. And I believe the second option that I give will be the best one. But some say that the reason Timothy was only drinking water was that he was unduly influenced by the Nazarite vow that they took in the Old Testament. Timothy was a man that knew the Old Testament Scriptures. He was taught those Old Testament Scriptures by his mother and grandmother. And certainly, therefore, Timothy knew what was the vow of the Nazarite. And part of the vow of the Nazarite was that they were not to ever drink wine. And so Timothy may have known that, and instead of taking the spiritual principle, which is consecration to God, and applying that to himself as a minister, he may have taken it too far and said, what I'm going to do is no longer drink wine as well. Potentially as a reason he only drank water. The other reason Timothy may have only drank water and no wine is that he did not want to give offense to the congregation in which he served. He didn't want to let the people think in any way that he was addicted to alcohol. He knew the qualifications for office bearers in the congregation. We talked about those qualifications on several occasions in our consideration of this book. And for both elder and deacon, and by implication for him as a pastor in the church, one of them is that you are not given to wine. And so Timothy, standing as the pastor of the church in Ephesus, decided, I don't want there to be any thinking among the congregation that I am a man who is given to wine, addicted to alcohol, which in turn would disqualify me from serving as a pastor in this church. And so to guard against that, he goes to the other extreme and decides never to drink alcohol, but only water. That to me is a good explanation of why he was only drinking water and no alcohol. Paul rebukes him for that. Paul very clearly says, Timothy, what you are doing is wrong. Don't be an exclusive water drinker. But in fact, Timothy, this is what you need to do. You need to drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake. It's good for you, Timothy, to drink a little wine. It's clear from the text that Timothy was a sickly man. Thy stomach's sake and often infirmities. That's the extent of what we know about Timothy's sickness. We don't know why he was sick. We surmised a moment ago why Timothy may have been often sick, having to do with the stress of the situation that he was in the church of Ephesus. But we don't know any more about the sicknesses that Timothy endured. What we do know is that he was often sickly. And the implication is that this is something that was debilitating for him in the work that he was doing. Paul knew about it. Paul was close to Timothy. He heard about it. He probably experienced it when Timothy was by his side on those missionary journeys. And the problem is that it was affecting his ability to do the work. And so out of a concern for Timothy, Paul says these words, Timothy, take care of yourself. And this is how you take care of yourself. Use a little wine for your stomach's sake. And the fact is that from a medical point of view, he gives good advice here. For an upset stomach, one of the things that you can do that settles the stomach down is drink a little wine. It's actually good medical advice. And clearly, Timothy was to use a little wine for medicinal purposes in order to help him do the work to which he was called. There's an implication in this passage that medicine is good. And as Christians, we can and should, if it is available for us, use medicine. That's how he is using alcohol in this passage. Wine serves as a medicine to help Timothy's stomach. The implication is that as Christians, we can and we should use medicine when it is available. Now, this can go to an extreme, certainly. But in the middle, a balanced position is that medicine. We don't go to the other extreme. One extreme is that we over-medicate and we drown ourselves in medicine. The other extreme is that we say we never use medicine, wine or otherwise. And the thinking along those lines is, God sent me this sickness. This is the sovereignty of God to send me this ailment. And since God was sovereign in sending this ailment to me, God will certainly be sovereign in removing this ailment from me if it is His will that I not have this ailment anymore. That's the other extreme, that you take that mentality, that God is sovereign over this and we don't use, therefore, medicines to help our physical bodies. That's an extreme position. God uses means and God gives us wisdom. That's true with our spiritual lives. When there are spiritual ailments, God says, use the means I have given you as medicine for the soul. Use the Word of God. Sit under the preaching of the Gospel. Use the fellowship of the saints. Use the gift of prayer. And I will work through those means to help your spiritual ailments. Well, the exact same thing is true with respect to our physical ailments. God says, I give means and I give you a mind and I give you wisdom. Use it to care for the body that I have given you. Somewhat of a side implication from the text, but nevertheless, a legitimate implication from this passage of God's Word. So that's the meaning of this and some of the questions that surround this particular passage. But it is incredibly significant that Paul, when he gives this word, says, Timothy, drink a little wine. A little wine for your stomach's sake. It's very clear that he gives a qualification as to how much Timothy is to drink. And I'd like to elaborate now in the second point of the sermon on that qualification that Paul gives in the text. The fact of the matter is that not only when you drink for medicinal reasons, as Timothy was exhorted to do, do you drink a little wine or a little alcohol, but any time you drink wine or any other kind of alcohol, the adjective that must describe how much you drink is this, little. Trinity Congregation, in all of your drinking, drink a little alcohol. Paul is crystal clear here to Timothy and to the church. He has to be. It's not very often that you find in the Scriptures positive exhortations to drink. I mean, here's the theme of the sermon. Drink a little wine. It's a positive exhortation. Drink. Not very often you hear those exhortations. Paul knew from experience and from the Word of God why he had to give this qualification, because he understood the power of alcohol and he understood the Word of God's teaching against drunkenness, which is the opposite of drinking a little, but in fact, drinking too much. He did not want Timothy to misunderstand in any way, shape, or form this positive exhortation to drink. And so he makes it very, very clear drink a little. He makes it so clear because of the power of alcohol and because of the dangers associated with the drinking of alcohol. And in that respect, let's look at the Word of God. Let's look at the opposite of what Paul says here about drinking little and see the many, many exhortations in particular passages in God's Word that warn against the opposite. And looking at the opposite, it'll help us understand what is a little when it comes to our drinking. Last week, Sunday night, Professor Gritters preached that sermon from 1 Peter, 1 or 2 Peter, 1 Peter, I believe. And the whole point of his sermon from 1 Peter was that one of the central sins of the Scriptures is lasciviousness, sexual sins. And he did a very good job in that sermon of describing how from the Word of God this is so often a central sin against which believers and the church today must battle. And he made it very clear that very closely connected with that is this sin, the sin of drinking too much. And you can do with the sin of drunkenness, drinking not a little but too much, exactly what he did with the sin of sexual immorality. And you can go to the Scriptures and see how from beginning to end, the Word of God warns against drinking too much. I'd like to do that a little bit. You can look at history and see examples of biblical figures, even men of God, who were guilty of drinking too much alcohol. What was the sin of Noah described in verses 20 through 26 of Genesis chapter 9? And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken. He was uncovered within his tent, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without. The sin of Noah was drunkenness. Genesis chapter 19, verses 30 and following, records for us the sin of Lot and his daughters, the incest between Lot and his daughters. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and so forth. Clearly sins on the daughter's part. But Lot should have known better than to drink as much as he did drink, which led to that incest and those particular sins. The sin of Nabal in 1 Samuel 25, 32 through 28 was that of drunkenness, and we could give more examples beyond that. What about the prophets? What do the prophets say about drinking too much alcohol? We could go to almost all of the prophets and find some reference to drinking too much in them. Let's go to just Isaiah and pull out a few passages. This was the warning of the prophets to the people of God in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Same chapter, verse 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 1 through 3. Isaiah 28, 1 through 3. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. Same chapter, verses 7 and 8. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. That's the prophets. What about the wisdom literature? Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20. The well-known wine is a mocker. Verse 1. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. 21 verse 17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. And then the chapter that we read tonight, Proverbs 23, in the end of it, that speaks of the power of alcohol. And now just a few passages from the New Testament. Romans 13, verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And these are those who shall not inherit it. Verse 10. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, revelers, extortioners shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Beloved, I realize all I was doing there was reading various passages for 5 minutes and hardly explaining them. But I did that for a reason. I did that because it lays before us what is the clear teaching of God's Word. A teaching that we all know, but a teaching we need to be confronted with by the Word of God. Drinking too much, the opposite of little, is a sin, and a serious one. And as we read in those passages, a sin that often leads to many more sins. When we drink, anytime we drink, what must characterize it is this. It's a little, as Paul says in this passage. Now the difficulty, of course, is what characterizes a little and what characterizes much. Because that's the implication of our passage. And from all of these passages that we read, Paul makes it clear, drink a little. And by implication, don't drink too much. He's not saying to Timothy, Timothy, drown yourself in alcohol so that you're numb to every feeling in your body and then your stomach won't feel upset and your infirmities will go away. That is not what he is saying. The actual wine serves a good purpose for his stomach. He's not telling him to drink much. It's little. But where do we fall in that? And how do you understand what is a little and what is too much? The difficulty with this is that when he says a little, he doesn't say, Trinity congregation, drink only X number of ounces with this proof alcohol for a body weight of this size. That's a little. And if you drink this many ounces with a certain proof and you're this size, that's too much. Obviously, he doesn't say that. But yet the word stands. Drink a little. Don't drink too much. Probably the most helpful way to describe this understanding is to describe what is too much. What's too much when it comes to drinking alcohol? And we do not want to be legalistic about this. And the reason, and when I go through this, I'm not attempting to be legalistic, but yet we do have to be somewhat concrete in order to convict our hearts and our souls of what is too much. We're not legalists, but yet we take the Word of God very honestly and very seriously. Drinking too much, obviously, is drinking yourself drunk. Clear, plain, simple. Anytime you put in your mouth so much alcohol that you know the next morning you're going to feel it because you're drunk is drinking too much alcohol. Drinking too much alcohol is drinking all day long. One of those passages that we read earlier identifies that. The man that wakes up in the morning and until he goes to bed at night, he has a drink in his hand all day long. It's drinking too much. Because when you drink that much all throughout the day, it has an effect on your body. Drinking too much is when you lose any sense of control in your mind and in your emotions. You may not be plastered, so to speak, thoroughly drunk, but you're in that middle ground where you know that you are looser than you normally are in the way that you think and in the way that you speak. That is drinking too much. Drinking too much is drinking every single day because you need it. And here again, you may not be drinking yourself absolutely drunk every day, but yet you are drinking every single day. And the reason you are drinking every single day is you need it. And you can't imagine not drinking and not having it even for one day. You're drinking too much if that is the case for you. And we could go on and on with types of examples like that. But it gets you thinking a little bit about the way in which we are handling the alcohol that we are consuming. And what it comes down to certainly is this. Each one of us stands before God and asks ourselves the question, am I drinking a little or am I drinking too much? And beloved, if you even have to think about it, and if you even have to really go through your mind and weigh the options and wonder, am I drinking too much? That's probably a pretty good indication of where you're at with your consumption of alcohol. The introduction to Professor Gritter's sermon last week was this, it's enough. And you remember how he preached that introduction. He said it pretty quietly the first time, a little bit louder the second time, and it led to him saying the third or fourth time, it's enough. And that's the Word of God to us with this sin too. For some of us who stand before God this evening, you have to say that in the depth of your heart, it is enough. And I am not going to let alcohol consume my life. And if your attitude about it is, yeah, I know I drink too much, but I'm not willing to do anything about it, then you have a deeper question to ask. And the question to ask then is, what is your relationship to God and Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross, beloved. He died on the cross for all of our sins. And this applies to all of our sins, where sometimes that is the attitude, I like it too much, and I'm not willing to give it up. But think about that. This is a sin. A sin concerning which Christ said, I need to go to the cross for my son or my daughter for this particular sin. He went to hell for these sins. And if our attitude towards them is this, I simply like it too much and I'm not willing to give it up, even though I know I probably drink too much. What does that say about Jesus Christ in your life, in your relationship to Him? Stand before God this evening and ask, am I using alcohol in a proper way that glorifies God? But we're not radical. And Paul's not radical. It'd be radical to say, don't drink at all tonight. And that's not my word to the congregation this evening. My word is not, don't drink at all. We can use alcohol. We can drink alcohol. We can use it for medicinal reasons. We can use it because we enjoy it. There's rich symbolism in wine. We're not radical and going to the opposite direction, although it may be the case where that is what you need to do in order to overcome the power that alcohol has over you. You say, I'm not going to drink at all because I can't drink and do it in a controlled fashion. But we're not radical. Drink. Paul says to Timothy, drink. I mean, that's the striking thing about this passage. He says positively, Timothy, drink alcohol. Clearly, the Bible does not forbid the drinking of alcohol. We have this passage. We have the fact that Jesus was at a wedding feast. He turned water into wine, not so that people could look at it, but so that people could drink it. So we don't go to the opposite of extremes. But we hear the Word of God and we stand before God and we examine our heart and our life with respect to the drinking and use of alcohol. The goal that Paul had in mind with this Word of God to Timothy had everything to do with the welfare of the church and the personal welfare of Timothy. Paul loved Timothy and Paul loves the church. He loved this church that he was writing to, the church in Ephesus. He labored there for many, many years. He understood that these people that Timothy was laboring among were the blood-bought bride of Jesus Christ. He loved Christ most, and that's why he loved this blood-bought bride in Ephesus. And he loved Timothy. And that's something that you really see in this passage. This is a personal exhortation to Timothy to do this. And it was out of personal concern for the brother. He knew he was often sick. He knew that it was bringing him down. And out of concern for him, he writes this word. And that, by the way, and I failed to mention this, is important for us as well. The admonishing of one another regarding the sins associated with alcohol. But all of that serves as the goal of this. The reason Paul felt it necessary to give this word to Timothy is that he wanted Timothy to work effectively in the church of Ephesus. It's clear that these infirmities, which he was not taking care of by drinking a little wine, was taking him down in his ability to do the work. And that's why he says to Timothy, Timothy, use a little wine. Because I want you, Timothy, because I love Christ who died for the people that you are working among, I want you, Timothy, to take care of yourself, to take care of your stomach issues by drinking a little wine so that you will have strength in order to go about the work, the very important work of preaching to and caring for the congregation in Ephesus. That was the goal. There are other things that we develop from this passage tonight, but that was the goal. Paul's heartfelt love for Christ first, for the church in Ephesus, and for Timothy, that in the most effective way possible, he could work among them and preach the gospel to them to the salvation of their souls. Take this Word of God seriously. And may God give us the grace as a congregation to see sin where it is present. And all of us to drink a little wine anytime we drink. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we pray for Thy blessing upon this word. We know, Lord, that Thy word is powerless apart from the Spirit that works with it. And so we pray that Thou wilt work powerfully Thy Spirit with this Word in the hearts of us who heard it, so that we are very, very careful understanding its power and dangers in the way in which we use alcohol. We thank Thee for the opportunity to expound on this from this Word of God. We pray that Thou wilt go with us now in the remainder of our worship and in this evening. For Jesus' sake, Amen.